Now, but today we're going to continue as we've been focusing on the FBC 2024 theme, One More. You know, that is based on Paul's example of being all things to all men. That was our first message. We looked at this. That he had a desire to reach one more, no matter what the cost was. Doing everything he can to deliver the gospel to one more. To one more. And Paul knew that Christ's commissioning to all believers was of vital importance. Do you? Do I? Do we take serious the commissioning of Christ? Yeah, you with me? Do you take serious what Christ has called us to do? Do we really hold it in high regard that as Christ was leaving earth, of all that he chose to do, he gave a great commission to man? That commission was, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How serious do we take that? That's why Paul was such a great example to us, that he was all things to all men. He'd do whatever it took to preach the gospel as long as he lived righteous. He set the example and he declared the truth. It's a serious commission that you and I have to a dark and fallen world, to those that need forgiveness or payment for their sins. And that person might be sitting next to you today. But we come to church sometimes kind of assuming the person next to me is good. They know the Lord. Assuming the person behind me or across sanctuary, they're good. But we don't know who we're setting example for, who we're preaching to, who we're declaring. Maybe it's your mom, your kids, your neighbor. Will you do whatever it takes to reach one more? Last week we saw how we get to this what we would consider extreme point of evangelism. How to make the message of Christ important and to let it come out of our mouths and out of our lives. How to give up our fleshly desires. Last week we saw in 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. See, when we allow Christ to be Lord of our lives, we allow elevate him higher than anything else we're involved in, anything else that we have, we're going to live his message. Speaking the gospel will become normal. And we will be sensitive to the need of Christ. Now, each of us are sensitive in different ways. And you saw the subtitle for today is, be sensitive. That's not usually what I say to people. Yeah? In the demasculating of men today, that's not a saying I say. But we need to be sensitive in the right way. Not be crybabies, but be sensitive. Some of us are sensitive to words. If you accidentally use the wrong word, oh goodness, it could hurt them. And sometimes we need to guard our words. But in today's day, it's gone to the extreme. You use the pronoun that they don't want to identify with. Using the pronoun that God gave you. Okay? And there's some that are very sensitive to words. But then there's some that are sensitive to sports. This afternoon, by about 5, I'll either be very excited or very depressed. You know the feeling, right, Carlos? Yes. Unfortunately, I know it too. Some are very sensitive to sight. And I don't just mean the sunshine coming down and hurts your eyes, but I mean, you've ever had someone approach your car and say, you've got a scratch right here or a dent right here. They can see little things that you never noticed. And then you can never unsee that little spot in your car again because they pointed it out to you, right? And or it bugs them when a picture on the wall is crooked. Now, not many of you know this, but last week, after service, and when my family's being ready to leave, everybody's gone, doors are locked, just like, okay, I'm going to get the ladder now. What do you need the ladder for? I guess this thing was a little bit crooked, so he got the ladder and adjusted the projector. I don't know, anybody else notice that? His sensitive eye noticed, and it bugged him. I said, I don't think anybody knows. Oh, no, it's bugging me. Okay, go for it. And he got this fixed. And being sensitive sometimes to little things, right? And that was him, sensitive enough to come out and say, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. And so he got it fixed. And in Acts chapter 8 today, we're going to see two men with sensitive hearts. In a way that you and I need to be. One is sensitive to his need for God. The other is sensitive to the leading of God. Now let's define our term a little bit. What does it mean to have a sensitive or soft heart? It means to be affected by the Word and the Spirit of God. It means to listen and to move according to what He says in His Word, according to what the Spirit of God has taught you and led you to do. That's being sensitive and letting Him guide you. It's allowing Him to guide you to go, to do what you do, to do how you do it, being sensitive to the Spirit of God moving and working in your life. That's being sensitive and having a sensitive heart. And if you look at the passage there in Acts chapter 8, we're just going to start out with just a couple of verses in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is a desert. And he arose and went. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. We thank you for being right here with us. I thank you for your word. I thank you for giving us your Spirit that can guide us, comfort us, that can convict us and teach us. Lord, today, we seek your word. I ask that each one of us have soft hearts, allowing you to speak, having a desire to act upon what you have moved us to do. Transform us, Lord. Bring us to the knowledge of you today. In your name I pray. Amen. You know, and this, we started with just a little bit of a verse there. Just a starting with story, and we see the first thing I see is a listening heart. See, this is Philip. We can know him as Philip the Evangelist. Not an apostle, the evangelist. And we find him earlier in the chapter. He's preaching and teaching in a place called Samaria. And he's the reason apostles had to come to help, because people were listening, people were getting saved, and their desire to grow. And he called for help, and the apostles came to help teach and help preach. And many people were being saved and discipled. There were good things happening. And imagine the excitement to watch God use you in great ways. God was doing miracles. He was showing His hand at work. He was making Himself known. And that's why people were getting saved. The Word of God was being preached as God is working. You imagine being Philip here and the excitement that he's going through. But you notice what happens in those verses that we just read in the middle of this awesome event. God sends him elsewhere. He sends him. Philip has seen a great work in Samaria, but God is calling him. Did you catch where to go? A strip out by Gaza. And at the end of verse 26, it is a desert. Not to be confused with dessert. A desert. A dry, hot, boring place. I think we would want to argue with God if we were Philip. I said we. Let me say I, and you can agree if you think so. Because I want to say, God, people are getting saved. Things are going great. We've had to call in help. People are being baptized. They're being added to the church. People are being discipled. What does that mean? Now we have more people that are preaching the gospel, more people that are teaching. We got more Sunday school teachers, more nursery workers, more people passing out tracts. Yeah? That's the argument. But God, why do you want me to leave now? I've shared with you before that when God called me out of a ministry I loved years ago, I went to a church in 2003 that had never had a youth group. God allowed me to learn a whole lot of stuff. Youth group grew and grew and grew. Great things had happened. And I started feeling God lead me to leave. It's like, why? And I called my mentor for help. And here's what he told me. And I'll share this over and over. He told me this: God calls some to fix the car, and sometimes he brings someone else to drive it. He said, Ron, maybe you're accomplished what God had for you there, and it's time to move on. Well, Philip is in that position. Samaria was a place full of people, and people were getting saved, and crazy things are going. And God told him to go to Gaza, a desert. A place with not many people that he's going to run into. And making this move made no human sense. Doesn't make sense. Lord, you want me to preach the gospel? And yet, even if it didn't make sense, look at the beginning of verse 26. What'd he do? He went. He said, yes, sir. He arose and he went. See, to Philip, it did not need to make sense. He didn't need the complete reason. He didn't need the entire plan. He had a soft heart, sensitivity towards the things of God. And he just needed God's direction. So guess what? When God said, go, he said, yes, sir. And he got up and went alone into this strip. Known for travelers. And the next thing I see is sensitive eyes. He had a sensitive heart, allowing God to speak through him, even through this angel. But then he had sensitive eyes. It's always good to have someone with sensitive eyes around. When we travel at night, especially between Missouri and Iowa here, southern Missouri here, the 6-hour trip usually that we take to go see family. Anyone in the car needs to have eyes alert. You can guess why. Because of those awesome night creatures that are better in your freezer than they are on the road. Often, one of us doesn't notice it, but someone else will. Someone will notice the little beady eyes in the dark. Someone sees some movement of the grass. But maybe somebody will catch what someone else didn't. And so we need someone with sensitive eyes. And here Philip had some sensitive eyes. Because when God led Philip and he obeyed, God also allowed Philip to notice something. Look at verse 27. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem for worship, was returning, sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah, the prophet. Now, Philip noticed a man with a need, a man with a soft heart, an Ethiopian. Born an Ethiopian, if that doesn't shock you, but also a eunuch. Huh? I don't want to get into a lot of detail, but I want you to know what that is because of where his priority and his focus had to be. A eunuch was a man that was emasculated. He was either castrated or had been done at birth. He's a man who had been castrated with a purpose, though, because he's been trusted to run the royal household. And a king would often castrate his servants to ensure they would not engage in sexual activity with others in the palace, specifically the royal harem. He also wanted to prevent them plotting an overthrow. Eunuchs were incapable of setting up a dynasty because they could not have their own children. And so these men, in order to receive this responsibility, this power, they would be castrated. And this eunuch, had great power, we see, according to these verses here. He wasn't just a somebody. He was someone of great power, great authority, working directly for the queen. He took care of her riches. He took care of her palace and of her things. And why did he come to Jerusalem? Do you notice that? It says he came to worship. He came to worship. Interesting. Because we're going to see this is not a believer. There's not someone who's placed faith in Christ. But he had heard of the God of the Jews. And he had heard of the power of the God of the Jews. And what he had done. And he wanted to come and recognize him. So he came to worship. And in doing so, he got a hold of God's word, the book of Isaiah. And on his way home, not completely understanding this prophecy, while in a chariot, he had a chauffeur driving him. Remember, he was great authority. He wanted to know God. So as the chariot's going down the road, he's sitting there reading. You see the soft heart? Soft heart isn't claiming to know God. Claiming to love God. The soft heart was wanting to get to know God. The soft heart is going to alert you that you have a need for God. It's going to cause you to pursue God. And here's a eunuch trying to understand God's word. Are you there? Do you have a soft enough heart that you have that desire in your heart to know God better? That you want to open up God's word? Say, Lord, speak to me. You see, this man here has a soft heart saying, I don't understand. I know there's a God out there, and he's a great God of the Jews, and he's done great things and powerful things. And so I'm going to pursue and learn what is said about him. And he's reading through the book of Isaiah. And in Acts chapter 8, look down there at verse 29. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him. And heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understand thou what thou readest? And verse 31 is important. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Man. Again, Philip's heart is moved by the Holy Spirit. I want you to paint this picture. He's telling him to catch up with that moving cart. That chariot. Now, I know I've shared on Wednesday nights before doing visitation in Brazil. And doing visitation, passing out tracts everywhere, inviting people to church, gospel tract, here. But you know what? Bicycles are everywhere, and bikes flying by, and you're holding them out, and they're grabbing them on the way. So if he crashes, at least he had a gospel in his hand, right? And you're doing all you can. You imagine Philip here. Here's a chariot going by, and he notices some activity, and the Spirit of God says, go get him, and he's got to chase him down. Now, I'm trying to paint this picture. I can't. I don't understand exactly what went on here. But imagine that the Holy Spirit tells him to do something that's weird, uncomfortable, and maybe a little bit dangerous. Go to this moving chariot. And what does Philip do? Look at verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him. Philip, sensitive heart again, ran. He knew the importance of his commissioning, and he heard God point him in a direction, and he said, no questions, I heard you loud and clear. I'm going. He didn't say, give me the plan first. What am I going to do when I get there? He said, yes, sir. We walk by faith and not by sight, and often we want God to give us some sight before we take a step of faith. Well, God, if I do that, What if this happens? What if my neighbor asks me this question? What if they know my past? What if I get an ouchie? What if I get made fun of? What if I'm all by myself? Yeah? Philip, then, what an example to us. Hey, Philip, go catch that chariot. Yes, sir. Wow. Philip does what we don't want to do often. When he catches this chariot, he wasn't worried about feelings. Did you notice in verse 30 what he did? When he catches it, he asked the guy a question. Do you understand what you're reading? This guy's powerful. And you could tell Philip would know because of the chariot that he's in, and he has his own chauffeur. This dude's got some power. Okay? This ain't some nobody. This is somebody. And he asked him a question. Do you understand what you're reading? See, people need the opportunity to accept an explanation. An explanation of what is important. Let me break down the truth for you. Let me share with you what Christ has done. Let me share with you why you need Jesus. Not the simple, hey, are you a Christian? Yeah, okay, good for you. Do you know most people don't have a clue why they call themselves Christians? That term has been so overused that we've got to back out of that. We've got to get to the point that we can present the gospel starting from the law so that we can all understand that we are sinful before a holy God. But he says, do you understand? Oh, there's a train downstairs. Anybody hear that? Pretty cool. You see, Philip here was not worried about his feelings. Who is it on TV that says truth doesn't care about your feelings? Philip didn't care about his feelings. Philip asked him a question. Do you understand? Now, this guy could be offended. Hey, you think I'm an idiot? You think you're smarter than me? Philip didn't care about that. Philip cared about this man's soul too much to worry about feelings. Lord, he might stab me. He might get mad at me. He's powerful. He's rich. No, Philip said, you told me to go, Lord. Do you understand? Can I share with you? Why, are you better than me? No, God's word is though. So Philip goes up and asks him because he was worried about this man's soul, but he was also worried about being obedient to the commissioning of God. Do we worry about that? You and I need to be worried about our neighbor's soul. We need to be worried about our kid's soul. We need to be worried about our grandkid's soul. We need to be worried about our neighbor's soul and our mama's soul. Because their souls, just one of their souls, is more valuable than the whole world we've already studied. The scripture says, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Are we concerned with one another's soul, our eternity, our walk with Christ? That your sins have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus? And then second, are we concerned about obedience to the commissioning that Christ has given to us? He has purchased us with a great price, his own blood, his own life. And he said, go and preach the gospel to the world. He's not talking to pastors or to evangelists. He's talking to you and me. If you are a child of God, you're an ambassador of Christ, adopted by the blood of Jesus, empowered by the Spirit of God, holding on to the Word of God so that we can go and give the gospel to one more creature. You see the importance here? Are you worried about souls of man? Now, when Philip asked this man, do you understand? The eunuch had a soft heart. He was humbled. He said, yes, please help. Whew, that's good to hear, isn't it? That's good to hear when you're ready to share the gospel. He understood. He needed help before it was too late. Understand, if you don't give help at the right time, it may be too late. If you don't reach your child to the gospel of Christ before it's too late, your child will die and go to hell separated from a holy God for all eternity. You don't reach your neighbor with the gospel of Christ. Now, you're not the one that's going to save him, but you're the one that's going to give him the message that can save him. And if you don't reach your neighbor, you might as well look him in the face and say, go to hell. Pretty serious?
Well, it's not a term we allow to say in our house.
I know, but we act it sometimes, don't we? That's how serious it is that we reach one more. And Philip came to this man and said, do you understand? And this man, thank God, his heart was already humbled. And he said, yes, I need help to understand. Don't wait until it's too late. It's kind of like in school with your kids. Once the grades come out, too late to ask the teacher for help, ain't it? Once they grow older, sometimes it's too late to teach them, isn't it? Marriages, don't wait until it's too late. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Don't wait to ask for help. Addiction, don't wait until it's too late. When it comes to Christ, it's even more important. Don't wait until it's too late. This eunuch knew he needed help. You know how what softens a man's heart? Such an important verse in Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. He had already been convicted by a law of God. The Old Testament law, thou shalt not. We've broken them all. The law shows our sinfulness, our guilt, our condemnation. You ever done that? Going through the Ten Commandments?
Guilty. Guilty. Guilty.
Yeah? Don't use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Oh my God. Jesus Christ. Yeah? No amens right now, right? Thou shalt not bear false witness. Uh-oh, April's coming up. Taxes got to be done, right? Can we keep going? Shall not commit adultery. Oh, I'm clean! And Jesus said, if you've lusted upon someone already, you've committed adultery in your heart. Oh, doggone. I mean, never done that either. Then I lied. Remember, bear false witness, right? What is the whole purpose of the law? It's to show you you need a Savior. This eunuch had come to the point that he knew he needed a Savior. His heart was softened. The soft heart of Philip asked the soft-hearted eunuch, do you need help? And Philip was asked to climb in the chariot. Hey, get in here with me. Have a seat and teach, preach, explain. This is the highlight of any believer's life when someone says, teach me Jesus. Now, I don't know. I'm trying to paint this picture of two guys in the chariot with a guy driving it. Because I don't know. They're laying across the back. Like, I don't know. There's a seat in there. I just know Philip said, hey, get your legs out of the way. We're going to study. And Philip walks him through the life of Christ. Because now we see the sensitive mind. Last part, the sensitive mind. Remember last week, if you sanctify the Lord in your heart, you'll be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. Why? Because you'll be intimate with God if you sanctify the Lord. Because you'll be investing in His Word. You'll be humble in prayer. You know, you will be submitting to the Holy Spirit if you sanctify the Lord in your heart. So let me ask you, where is the Lord in your heart? Is He just attached? Or have you made Him priority, top of all? And here's what it looks like when you're ready to give an answer. Look at Acts chapter 8 there, verse 32. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh this prophet this? of himself or of some other man? And look at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and begun at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. The privilege, the highlight of any believer's life is to be able to teach the name of Jesus. The portion of scripture that read was Isaiah 53, verse 7 and 8. And in Sunday school, a while back, we studied through this portion. Eunuch had been reading for some time, if he's here in Isaiah 53, because in those days, they didn't have the chapters and verse. The numbers in your Bible were only added a few hundred years ago to make it easy for you and I to find areas. So the eunuch probably started reading the beginning of Isaiah and started reading through, which means he had read the verses leading up to this. This entire prophecy about Jesus, which was written 700 years before Jesus was born, but right now at the time of the eunuch meeting with Philip, was only a few years after Jesus' death and resurrection. So Philip could firsthand teach and explain the fulfillment of this prophecy, which entails the entire ministry of Jesus Christ. They didn't sit in the back of that chariot for 2 minutes with a quick explanation. Philip preached the life of Jesus to him. He preached that Jesus is our hope, which gives us an answer for our hope. He gave him the answer on why I ain't worried. Philip presented the message because he's an ambassador for Christ. Philip fulfilled his commissioning by witnessing to this man. You see, the opportunity was given and his heart was sensitive. His mind was sensitive, ready to pour out and give a reason for the hope that lies within him. And verse 35 says, and Philip opened his mouth and begun at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Philip, sitting in a chariot, got the opportunity of a lifetime to fulfill the purpose of his life. Preach Jesus. Believer, that's the purpose of your life. That's what you were called to, is to preach the name of Jesus, to make Jesus known to one more. To make him known to one more. Now understand, who was Philip talking to? One man. One more. Not a group of 5,000. Oh, I want to preach like Billy Graham. That's all. That would be awesome to be able to present the gospel to that many. But who has God put in your life for you to present to? This wasn't even a group of, I don't know, what do we have here today? 65? 50? No, it was one. Why? Because that one soul is still more valuable than the whole world. Philip was going to reach one more. God led him to reach one more because he had a sensitive heart to be guided. He had sensitive eyes to see the need. And he had a sensitive mind ready to share the gospel. You and I have the same commissioning as Philip. The same commissioning as Peter. The same commissioning as Paul. The three characters that we've looked at during this theme. But do we have the sensitivity, the soft heart as these men, to let God guide us? Often we lose sensitivity by busyness in our life. We get so busy, there's so much going on, and we get so busy that we forget the main thing. We forget the biggest priority. We forget to sanctify the Lord. We can say we do. But that is seen in our actions, in our words. That is seen in our life. Let us humble ourselves before God and really let him listen to his yet small voice, speak to us and guide us. Let God guide us, setting him as a priority so that we can be sensitive to his direction and work. Why? Because God has one more ready for you to reach. God has someone out there this week that is watching you. We don't realize who all is watching. And I shared the example of getting a picture of Josiah helping a lady the other day out of the street. You don't know who's watching you. Just the other day, I think it was a memory popped up on Facebook for me that I'm sitting here preparing for my message with the book open in front of me. Right over my shoulder, little Wells. You don't know who's watching you, but you are to be the light of the world. And that is a privilege that God wants to shine his light through us so that we can present the gospel of Jesus Christ to one more. One more, so that we can reach the world for Christ. Are you sensitive to him? Are you letting him speak to you? Would you stand with me? We're just going to have a closing song today. But our hope and desire as we seek God's word and is that we have the sensitivity to want to reach one more for Christ. You see, every person that steps into our life has a soul that has an eternity that's going to spend that eternity somewhere. Pretty important. I thank God that somebody took time to share with me. Now, who's God preparing for us? We're going to close in a song, Follow Me. But let me just remind you after service, if you'd like to be a part of this commitment, please sign. Again, it's a matter of unity that we're going to work on this together. We're going to be praying for one another, lifting each other up. Let's reach one more for Christ. Let's sing together. Sensitive to his guidance, sensitive to where he leads us. And that's how we'll be blessed watching him use us. Let me remind you, ladies, right here.